Thank you so much. That's one of those great and precious promises from God's Word. And you sang it so, so beautifully. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I certainly hope you do, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 6. Our focal text tonight will be Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. We're continuing under the theme, "We Are One Bread," the great and hopeful task of culturing the church. I don't pretend to be an expert on anything. Not a thing in life do I pretend to be an expert about, and the least of which is baking. I've been talking about bread for a few sermons now, but I'm no great baker. I'm no expert on bread, but I am pretty proficient when it comes to making cornbread. And I absolutely love cornbread. I would get in a cornbread fight with you. I mean, I'd go head to head with you on cornbread. It's because of my deep love for my grandmother, Rita Snowden. And she made sure that we called her Rita when we were little because she didn't want to be Granny or Grammy or anything like that. She thought those kind of names belonged to old people. And so she made sure we called her Rita. She was a wonderful lady. I lived on the corner of Grandview and 40th Street. And my grandparents, Rita and Charlie Boy, lived around the corner on Ashland Avenue. And so they were less than 2-minute walk. And so I spent a lot of time with them when I was growing up. And I was always welcomed into their kitchen. My grandfather, Charlie, was a wonderful cook, and so was my grandmother, Rita. They didn't often cook together. They didn't agree on everything in there, you know. But they were great cooks. And I remember being taught how to make cornbread by my grandmother. She put me up on a little stool and she got out the big bowl. We got the cornmeal and the flour and the baking powder and the principal ingredient, which you thought that'd be cornmeal, didn't you? But in the state of Mississippi, the principal ingredient of cornbread was pork fat. And I know that the cows and the beef reign supreme here in Texas, but across the Great River, it's the pig. And you had to have a little bit of bacon grease to make the cornbread. And they kept that bacon grease in a little metal tin, appropriately labeled grease. There came a point in my grandmother's life when she started giving things away. We'd go visit her and she'd say, I don't want to wait till I die for you to have things that are precious to you. I want you to walk through the house with me and pick something out on this visit. And on one of those visits, I picked out the bacon grease can. And it sits on our counter back at home today. I looked up those cans on eBay one time. And you know what? They're not worth very much. But I don't think you could come up with a number and buy the one that's on our counter, because it's valuable to me because of her. We've been talking about the ingredients of soul culture, those different things that make up a healthy and a vibrant church. Scripture says we are one loaf because we come from one loaf. And we've been talking about the image and the theme of the culture of our church being made up of different ingredients that the Holy Spirit kneads together like a good dough to make multiple things one thing. It's true for the people that make up the church, but it's also true for the different elements of church life. We've been talking about those elements. We've talked about the ingredient of belief. We've spoken together about attitudes. And tonight, it's about values. If you have found that text in Matthew 6, these are the words of Jesus. They're all in red in my Bible. They're about values. If you have found them, let's stand and hear the word of the Lord. Beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye.
If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor your body, what you'll put on. Is your life not more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more, what, value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our good and our holy God, you truly are more precious than silver. Lord, we love you. Because you first loved us. We pray, Lord, that when our lips and our hearts don't match as it relates to values, that you would tenderly forgive us and meet us with grace, that we might live the life that is truly life. This is our prayer in the beautiful name of Jesus. And we pray together saying, amen and amen. Friends, values are the things that we think are important. It's pretty simple when you think about it. Values are things that we measure and celebrate and promote. Values are the things that we are willing to exchange for our time and our treasure, our talent, our passion. Values are the things that keep us up at night and cause us to daydream. Values are those things that we think are important. And they're important to God. The things that are important to God need to be important to us. And that's why Jesus, in the sermon of all sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, deals squarely with this concept of values. From the very beginning, he offers both a warning and an invitation. In verse 19, he offers this as a warning. He says, don't invest your life in such a way that the moths make a claim on the things you value most. Don't chase after as ultimate those things that can be stolen from you by a thief. He gave a warning. And even as he issued a warning, he issued an invitation in verse 25. He says, is life not much more than these things of earth? Is life not much more? Scripture says we can live the life that is really life. And that's what God would have for us, to live the life that is abundant from his perspective. And to live that life, our values must align with his. Those things the Gentiles chased after, Jesus said, oh, God knows you need them and he'll give them to you. He said, but you need to be concerned about the things that are really, really life. You know, when you get out to Paisana, your phone's not as valuable as it is back home, is it? You can't really do that much with it. I tell you what, though, for me, I've discovered there's a flashlight on it. it works. And out here, this is what you need. And it becomes valuable yet again. And we like the flashlight because it helps us navigate in the dark to get to our friends. Last night, I used this to get to a party down at Kathy's place, where we once more sang fish and chips and vinegar, vinegar, vinegar. I don't think I'd go to Potsdam without singing that song. You see, bread and water, these are the things that have survival value. Friendship doesn't. You can live your whole life without it. You could survive your whole life without it. But C.S. Lewis says there's something about friendship that's more important than it having survival value. He said something like friendship gives value to your survival. You see, there's more than just what we can touch and taste here. There's more. So much more. And as followers of Jesus, our values must align with his, because he wants so much more than just our survival. He wants our survival to have value. Thanks be to God. So tonight I want to contrast two kind of versions of values, and they're in this text. I want to put labels on them because I think labels help us to organize and sort and think. I want to label two kinds of values. One I'm going to call secreted values, if you need a more common word, worldly. And the second one are synchronized values, or we might say godly. Let's start with the first. It rings with that warning that Jesus gave. We can live our life chasing after secreted values, sweaty values. I borrow this line from an atheist philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre. He was a darling of the Paris cafe scene and popular in his day. And he was trying to help his fellow man live without God. And he talked a lot about values. And at one point he said, man secretes his own nothingness. That sounds real exciting, doesn't it? Man secretes his own nothingness. He says, values like nothingness enter this world only through human beings, through us. And we live like dirty pigs if we do not acknowledge that we have introduced them and bear responsibility for acting on them. He says our values just come from the inside of us, and they come out of us like our sweat. It's what we chase after. And we're inauthentic liars if we say they come from anywhere else. For an atheistic philosopher, I respect his integrity to say it like he believes it. What is troubling are often the times I catch my own self chasing after values that are homemade and not from God, that come out of me and not from him. It's one thing for those who don't walk with God to follow after secreted values. It's another for us. It's another for our churches to be squeezed into the pattern of the world, chasing after the values of the world. It's corrosive to our heart. It is bad for the soul cultures of our church. And it's a big theme in the Bible. In fact, there are whole chunks of the Bible about this misspent pursuit. The book of Ecclesiastes is a great example of that. The teacher of Ecclesiastes says, I tried everything to find the purpose and meaning of life. I really wanted to live life. And I tried it all. He said, I had the ability to chase after everything. And so out of my life came these desires, and I chased after them for different seasons of my life. He said, I valued different things, and I gave myself to that. I gave my passion to it. I gave my resources to it. I gave my time to it. I gave my dreams to it. I gave my hopes to it. He said, I thought pleasure was the answer. I chased after pleasure. I gave it all I got chasing after pleasure. And he said, I found that it was a colossal waste of time. It was a chasing after the wind, a vanity of vanities. He said, so I tried power, control, influence. And I chased after that. That value came out of me. It just sweated out of me, and I ran after it. I tried it with all my might, and I found it to be a waste of a life. I tried knowledge. I learned everything I could possibly learn, thinking that if I learned it all, I would live the life that is really life. And when I earned my last degree, I looked over my shoulder and I said, what next? Because I determined that the chase and the pursuit of knowledge for the sake of knowledge was vanity and chasing the wind. Paul gave his own testimony. In Philippians 3, he talked about how he had a passion and a zeal for trying to live life that mattered, a life that was really life. And he said he ran past his peers and he achieved and he achieved and he achieved. And he was self-righteously perfect and he had it together. And he was the envy of his class. And he said, when I met Christ, I looked back at that. And I counted it all as rubbish. Musician Ben Harper, rocker, wrote a song called Diamonds on the Inside, and he said, make sure the fortune that you seek is the fortune that you need. Everybody has values. Everybody. And many of them emerge from our heart of hearts like sweat. Let's make sure that those things that we're chasing after are the things that we need. And Jesus says, they're not. True Blood said the most fundamental commitment of the Christian is the commitment to say, Jesus Christ was not wrong. And he was right. And he offered a different way. He offered a life that was really living. I'll call those tonight synchronized values or godly values. We're missing the Olympics, and the word is, the rumor is, we're probably better off for that. We got beat by the French in basketball. That's depressing. Things aren't going so great. I'm glad I don't have a television out here. But I watched the Olympics as a kid, and one of the things I liked was the synchronized swimming. First time I ever saw that was on the movie Orphan Annie. It was amazing to watch all of those people moving together as one. Their movements matching. They arose together at the same time and in the same place. And when the Bible talks about life, it is life. It talks about living life in sync with God. Having our values synchronized with the values of God, having our heart in sync with the heartbeat of God. Most often in the Bible, when it talks about this theme, it talks about walking with God. In Genesis 5, we learn that Enoch walked with God. In Amos 3, we learn to have life with God is to walk with God. When the prophet asks, can two walk together unless they are agreed? In sync, together. To me, I think the most powerful verse about this notion of synchronized values is in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You see, the desires of the flesh are those secreted values that just sweat out of our lives. The pressures and the pull and the temptation of the world and the flesh and the devil. The lure away from life. And we don't have to go that way, Scripture says.
Instead, we can walk with God.
I'm glad I didn't say fly with God. That seems heroic.
Or even run with God. But walk day by day, moment by moment with Him. Values are a chief ingredient to a healthy soul culture in your family, your church, and in your own life. We need to make sure they're synced up with God. And Jesus gives us a little clue to the key to that. Let's say if you're looking at these contrasts, if you're looking at this secreted values and these synchronized values, and you're looking at this warning from Jesus and this invitation from Jesus, and you're looking at this waste of a life, this rubbish, and a life that is really life, and you look at those things that are laid out before you, and you say, I want to go with God. I want my life to be synced up with God. Jesus helps us focus down on how that can be. And he gives us the key, and it's the weirdest part of this section, but the key is in verses 22 to 24, and the key is the lamp of the body, which is the eye. Once more, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. David Garland is a man I hold in high regard as a scholar and as a Christian and just as a man. And when he wrote about this text of Scripture, he helped us understand that the good eye is rendered the single eye. The single eye. And he said, a single eye shines forth the presence of inner light. You'll like this later on when it gets really dark. He said, it is bad enough to be in the dark, but worse to have the darkness in you. He said, being generous with one's possessions is a sign that one has moved into the world of the light and has chosen God over mammon. You see, mammon's more than money. Mammon is an idol lie. Mammon is the promise of the secreted values that come out of us. Mammon is the notion that you can have the life that is really life, disconnected from God and on your own terms. You can't serve God if you buy into that. But if you fall down before God and receive with open hands and hearts the life that he offers, then the light comes in. And the light comes out our eyes. And when the light is within, you're not secreting values out that are worldly. Light is shining out of you, and you can see clearly those things that matter to God. And seeing clearly what matters to God, you can walk toward them and in them. It sounds all mystical, but Jesus made it really practical. He says, if you want to know if that's occurred in your life, just follow the signs. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your passion is, that's where your heart is. Where your sleepless nights go, that's where your heart is. Where your daydreams are, that's where your heart is. In Waco, Texas, I often joke with the people in the church. I said, you love Baylor so much. You love the green and gold so much because they get so much of your green and gold. Your treasure goes there and your heart follows after. Just follow the signs. If you want to know what you value, follow the signs. Where are those signs pointing tonight, friends? Do you have a single eye with light shining out? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and recognize that these things follow after? They're not unimportant, but they can't lead the way. Only the kingdom can lead, because the king is the leader. Our hearts, our churches, our families will not be whole if our values aren't in sync with God. Let's pray. Lord, we so often think of vision, and truly vision is vital. But Lord, the vision is contingent upon the values. We want to see clearly, Lord, those things that are valuable to you. And we're grateful, Lord, that in your word you say that we are valuable to you. Lord, may we accept that in our bones. And may we recognize your love. And may we taste afresh your grace, so that we can live in the house of love and not the house of fear. So that we won't chase after meaning in all the wrong places. So that we won't value all the wrong things. Oh God, you are God and there is no other. We were made by you, we were made for you, and we were made that you might have first place in all things. May we find the stability and the strength and the winsomeness and the joy that comes from standing on the rock of oneness with you. We don't want to be unstable in our ways. We want to be strong and truly, truly, truly alive. By your Spirit, God, make it so. We give you praise and glory in the tabernacle of God. And all God's children said, amen and amen.